We hope you enjoy this recording of Good Information versus Bad Advice, online parenting support and information, chaired by Niamh Healy of Quidju and joined by bloggers Silda Dwyer and Lisa Heaney and Creagia Lynch of Aims Ireland, 42weeks.ie and the Home Birth Association of Ireland, and Emily Manning, editor of EU Mom. Recorded at Baby Talk Festival 2014. For more talks and information, visit babytalkfestival.ie.
Okay, so it's time to start the session, and I'm absolutely delighted to be chairing it because in Quidju we're absolutely passionate about informed decision making. So this session about good information versus bad advice just sits us down to the ground, and it's about online parenting support and information and everything that's out there on the web. And we have a panel here of five, including myself, and I'll introduce them first, but then they're going to introduce their own online presence, what their organisation or what their personal online presence is about. And then we'll have questions from the floor, or we have a few ideas that we can discuss ourselves. Okay, I'm going to start down at the end here, and we've got Emily Manning, and Emily is editor of EUMOM.ie. And she's a former editor of Maternity and Infant magazine, and she has many years' experience writing about parenting and pregnancy issues for aimed at parents. And she personally discovered the benefits of online forums when she was pregnant herself 5 years ago. Then we have Silda, and Silda is a blogger at mindthebaby.ie. Silda is a mum of one. She's a doula and a gentle birth instructor, and is Secretary of Aims Ireland. And you'll see as we go along, some people have many, many hats. So Silda has a few hats. And then we have Lisa, who's a blogger at mama.ie, and she set up the Irish Parenting Bloggers Group, and she's a mum to two. And Creagia has the most hats of all, I think. And Creagia is the coordinator of the Home Birth Association. She's co-chair of Aims Ireland, so that's the Association for the Improvement of Maternity Services in Ireland. And she's a literary leader. She's a doula and a birthing from within antenatal teacher, a homeopath. And as if that wasn't enough, she's also a mum of three. Okay. And I'm an antenatal teacher with Quidju. My name is Niamh Healy, and I'm co-author of Bump to Babe, the online community consumer guide for the maternity services in Ireland. And along with a small team of antenatal teachers, we also ran normal birth conferences in 2006 and 2007 that was aimed at midwives to promote practices that would normalise, bring birth back to its more normal state as designed. So we'll start with Emily down at the end, and Emily will introduce EU Mom and its online presence.
Many of you may already be familiar with EUMOM.ie. We're the number one parenting community in Ireland. So I think during pregnancy, you may have received your information packs through your hospitals. We provide a free gift bag for pregnant women or mums, new mums. So you can pick that up. We distribute it nationwide through SuperValue stores. But we also, on the site itself, on EUMOM.ie, we also have a lot of articles and a lot of advice. We have resident experts in everything from fertility to breastfeeding to sleep to behaviour, and covering that whole gamut from getting pregnant to sort of, your preschool age child. And we have a very active community of moms as well. That's what the site is all about at the end of the day. So whether it's the forums actually on the site where mums can chat in their birth clubs with mums that are due around the same stage or going through the same pregnancy issue, their parenting issues. We also have a very strong Facebook community with nearly 27,000 mums. You can post a question anonymously through our moderators, and you have the expertise of that audience to answer your question. Now, we'll talk later about how important that information is and how we judge it, but to have that opportunity is something that I know our mums really value. So that's it. We'd love to see you on the site and hear your feedback and claim your gift bags. And that's it for now.
Okay, Silda. Hi, I'm Silda Dwyer. I'm wearing my blogger hat today, so I'm here to talk about my own personal blog, which is mindthebaby.ie, which I started writing when my son was coming up to 1 year old. And I started writing for two reasons. One, because I just felt my life had changed so much and I had learned so much and I found everything so overwhelming. I was looking for an outlet to just express everything that was going on. And the other reason was because I found all the way through my pregnancy and having a small baby that I was often using the phrase, how come nobody ever told me that before? So I thought, you know, maybe it might be nice to note down things as I learned them. So when somebody Googles them, they might go, oh, that's exactly what happened to me. So just to have kind of a mums like us kind of resource. So I've been blogging for nearly 2 years now. And I write about not just babies and pregnancy and birth, but, you know, my own life. And I also write about my own political views and stuff like that. So basically it's my own soapbox. So that's what that's what I use my blog for.
Thank you. And Lisa? So I'm Lisa Healy and I blog at mama.ie. I set up my blog shortly after I returned to work. It was in around October 2010, so my son would have been just about a year old. And I had gone back to work when he was 10 months old, and I found I was sitting at the table at lunch at work thinking, okay, I have lots of parenting information. It's just dying to get out, and if I start spewing it out here at the table, I'm going to bore all of my colleagues senseless. But like Silda said, I had learned so much and been blown away by how different the parenting experience, the reality of it, was to what I expected it to be while I was on maternity leave, that I needed to let it out somewhere. So mama.ie was born, and I've been blogging since then, so for like about 3 years now. And when I've been blogging for a while, I realised that actually there's more to this blogging than just me sitting here typing, writing up my thoughts. Lots of other people are doing the same thing as well. And there were lots of communities in the US and communities in the UK as well for parenting bloggers, but I couldn't find anything that existed in Ireland. So I thought, okay, well, if nothing exists, I could be waiting a while for something to come along. So the Irish Parenting Bloggers group was born, and since then, I guess it's around about 2 years or 2.5 years ago that the Irish Parenting Bloggers group was set up, and it's grown. Now there's over 60 members in it, and it's a really active community, and probably one of my greatest centres for parenting support online, as it turns out. So that's it. That's how I got to where I am today.
Well, I think one of the things I should say before I start off is that some 20 years ago, in a small little village down in Cork, a midwife set up a group called Baby Talk. And she's still doing Baby Talk. And the original Baby Talk was for women to come together and to talk about parenting and to talk about birth and to talk about things they had in common and to exchange questions. And she celebrated her 20 years of Baby Talk last year, I think. So those key issues run the same today. We always are looking for, as parents, as mothers, as expectant women, we're looking for information, we're looking to meet other people who can support us. Sometimes we look for advice because we're at the end of our tether, maybe we have a baby that we can't settle, or maybe we don't understand what's going on with our parenting. But really, as women, we don't change that. And I know that when I had my first baby, which was about 14, was pregnant 14 years ago, so he's 13, I, as Silda said, I think, found that there was very little information, and I couldn't get information out there. I didn't know what my choices were, what my options were, and I was very particularly interested in birth and early parenting. And so I swore that when I got an opportunity, I would do something about that, and I would try and make information and support available to other women. So initially I did that without the use of the internet. But then, of course, everybody's on the internet now, still seeking support and still seeking information and still seeking community. And I think that we're very much divorced from our own sense of community. We tend to have an online community now rather than a one-to-one community. And so I suppose I'm involved in mostly in birth and breastfeeding issues, but today I'm primarily going to focus on birth. So I've been involved with AIMS Ireland since 2007 and with the Home Birth Association since 2002. So I administer all of the Home Birth Association's online presence, and I'm involved with various aspects of AIMS Ireland. And so I feel a bit of a kind of strange sitting here to talk about two of the AIMS Ireland blogs. One of which is called No Country for Pregnant Women, which is about all the things that are wrong in the maternity services and what we really need to do to change them and to advocate for change. and the other one is called 42 Weeks. And the reason I feel a bit of a fraud is because this person here is actually the person that does all the technology. So if I could wear her as a hat, I actually would. So Silda administers 42 Weeks. But 42 Weeks is essentially a blog that Ames Island decided to set up that was not looking at the rough and tumble of the things that go wrong in maternity services, but was trying to put a very much a focus on very positive things that women experience. So how to have a very positive birthing experience, and that's what that blog does. And I suppose it counteracts some of the other stuff that Ames Island does online, which is more about advocating for severe failures within the maternity services.
And did you want to mention the home birth?
Oh, yeah, sorry. And I also do the online presence for home birth in Ireland. So I administer a Facebook page, which is kind of a Facebook group, a very large Facebook group. And Facebook's very interesting because I think when you're a member of a group, you kind of forget that when you're typing, you kind of think that you're just sitting in your sitting room and you're typing and you're on your phone and there's only kind of you and a cat and a baby maybe. And you don't realise that there's actually 750 other people who have just read what you've just put up, or in your case, 20-something thousand people that have just read what you put up. And I think often, you know, women can put up things. I suppose this is one of the negative things we might come up to later, is you can put up things that you may wish afterwards that you had not maybe said. And, you know, with Facebook, it's like it's not a digital footprint. It is a digital tattoo. It's kind of there forever. So God forbid we should move out of parenting and want to get jobs. You know, we're probably never going to be able to do that. In terms of the home birth stuff, it's really based more on information, because the Home Birth Association still does its support person to person. So we still have a lot of support meetings. And so we would do a lot of support person to person. And we use, I suppose, the internet to try and bring people together, to try and meet face to face.
Thank you. And then from a Quiddy point of view, I just wanted to introduce Bump to Babe, which is the online consumer guide for maternity services in Ireland. So it's www.bump2babe.ie. And on there, it was launched in 2011, so it's a little bit dated now, but most of the information is still current. And we have not only got birthing statistics there, but we asked something like 400 questions of all the maternity units in the country, and all participated in the survey. And, you know, the quality of the answers varied from unit to unit, but we got information from all 22 units, and we asked them about all their policies and practices from the minute somebody enrolls in their system right to the end when they're discharged. What we were aiming to do was to provide information to parents, but specifically to highlight that there are differences, that with either different patterns of care or from a different maternity unit to maternity unit, that policies are different. And we're hoping that knowledge will give parents the confidence to discuss all their options with their caregivers, not just the normal options available at that unit, but what else would be available if they were attending somewhere else, what else would be available maybe in a different country, and to just explore what you can do. That is the third consumer guide that Quiddy has produced. The first one was in booklet form. The second one was also an online, and then this third one it has its own dedicated website. So we were going to look at the issue of moderation, and given that the online presence is so different for the four panellists, I was going to ask each one of them in turn what they have to do in terms of moderation, whether it be content that's generated for them or comments. So if I can start with Emily.
I'll start with our Facebook community, because we've already mentioned it. We do have, you know, 27,000 members, so it is very difficult. As Cretia said, you can sit there and think, well, it's just me and maybe a few other people that are reading it, but actually this is a very wide community that has a wealth of knowledge, but also, you know, you are putting it out there. So we do provide that facility to allow you to do an anonymous question, which obviously is of great benefit to a lot of mums. But the big thing really is that Facebook can't, you know, it's very difficult for us to moderate that. We do have somebody that works on it all the time, but really it's a community moderated situation. So, you know, we will get, if there's somebody leaves a spam comment, it'll be highlighted to us and it'll be instantly dealt with. On the site itself, we use, in the forums of the site, we use long-standing members that have contributed a lot over the years, that have used their own wealth of knowledge to advise other members, new moms coming along. They've given them that advice and passed it along. And we use them sort of as support leaders and moderators within the forums. But it's something that we absolutely, you know, would monitor on a daily basis. We wouldn't allow, you know, information that was biased or in any way offensive to be published or promoted. And that's something that's really crucial for us, because we are a business, but we are a community for moms, and that's ultimately what it's about. So as long as they're getting the advice and the support that they are coming to us for, then that's all that we're looking for.
Thank you. And Sylvia?
Well, I suppose blogging is very different in that context, because, you know, it's my blog and whatever I says go, really. But you know, I have a moderating policy that I've actually never had to implement, which is, you know, I when you comment on my blog, you have to fill in some form of identification. You can't comment anonymously, but, you know, your information is kept private. And once you've registered once, then you can say whatever you like. And my policy would be, if anybody puts anything abusive on, then I'm not going to publish it. But that's actually never happened. But, you know, the lovely thing about blogs and writing articles about whatever you like is that, you know, the best part is the discussion and the debate that happens afterwards and what people are saying. And people often bring brilliant new ideas and have suggestions that you just never have thought of. But that's the beauty of it. So, you know, not allowing those kind of comments and just having people going, great blog, well done. You know, nobody's interested in that. It's not interesting to read. So, you know, everything comes through. But, you know, if somebody is offensive, I think it's very a standard internet rule that you're well within your rights to just say, look, that's not acceptable and not publish it. But I'm all for commenting and debate and different views, because, you know, that's the interesting part.
Okay. Thank you, Alison. Well, because I have my personal blog, but I also have the Irish Parenting Bloggers group, I really have two approaches to moderation. The moderation that was take place on my blog would be different to the moderation, I think, that's needed in the Facebook group. On my blog, as far as I'm concerned, people can comment, and if it's a differing opinion, that's absolutely fine. But a couple of years ago, I wrote a blog post about the role of men, or the lack of men, in childcare in Ireland, and I got a really abusive comment back from somebody saying that how ridiculous I was to want to have men looking after my children, and did I not realise the danger that I was putting them in. And then there was a whole string of abuse at the end of it, calling me every name under the sun. And at first I was really taken aback, and I thought, okay, how am I going to respond to this? And then I thought, hold on a second, this is my corner of the internet, I don't have to respond to this at all. Delete. Right? And that was the end of it. But when I'm in the Facebook group, it's totally different, because what I really wanted to create in the Facebook group was a place where people could have different opinions, so that they could debate different issues, and that they could realise that, actually, you know what, despite what the books by the experts may say, there is no one way to do this parenting thing right. There are hundreds of ways to do it right, and what's right for one person isn't right for another person, but maybe we can all learn from each other. So the policy that I've implemented within the Facebook group is that people, by all means, like, have opposing opinions and feel free to disagree with each other, but if you cross the line into personal abuse, then that won't be tolerated. And we've stated that up front as the moderation policy, and thankfully I've actually never had to put it in force or make use of it. You know, everybody respects that, and they respect each other, and I think that's, well, hopefully that's how it continues to go.
Right, thank you. I suppose talking about the stuff that Ames Ireland would put up, first of all, that's kind of interesting, because we would put up quite a lot of women's stories. So, for example, on our 42-week blog, which is focused on having a positive birth experience, we have put up a lot of women's stories that have been sent to us. And a lot of the comments I've got back is a lot of those stories are kind of focused on a very particular type of birth. So in some respects, I suppose you could say a lot of the stories there are not as inclusive as they might be of the whole experience. But that's very difficult because you're always relying on people sending information into you and people sending in their stories into you. So if the majority of your stories are falling in within a particular type of story, it's very difficult to ignore the 50 stories on that topic and then go seeking a story on something that you feel perhaps is not fully representative of the picture in Ireland. So in some respects, what goes up is partly moderated by what we receive from women. So that's the first thing I would say. The second issue is that we always have we always try and take away anything to do with a healthcare professional's name. So we would never want to put up a woman who has a difficult experience, for example, with a particular healthcare professional. We ended up having to take legal advice on this recently as to whether we were allowed to mention particular maternity units. And we actually are allowed to mention maternity units. We don't step outside the law on that. But as to mentioning particular healthcare professionals, that does potentially move into defamation. So you have to be very careful about that. Our general policy, though, is that we do not like to censor what a woman has said. So if a woman presents a story in her language, obviously we take out her name, but then we put up the story pretty much as she's told it. And if she says that it happened a certain way, even though we might think, that might be unlikely, that is what she says has happened. And the same happens with birth stories that go onto the Home Birth Association's website. Is again, you take out healthcare professionals' names because you don't want to get into any sort of defamatory kind of situation. But we always put up a disclaimer, I suppose, by saying that these are birth reflections. So they're a reflection on an experience, rather than necessarily saying this is absolutely the only one way that that experience happened. It's more of a reflection. So that's, I suppose, that's one aspect. And then we would get, obviously people can comment on the 42-week blog that Ames has, or they can comment on the No Country for Pregnant Women blog that Ames has. And the way that that would be moderated, it's often moderated within, if difficult questions come up or difficult statements are made. For example, if a woman has had an experience where a baby has died, that's as bad as it gets. It's very difficult. If a woman has responded to something that's on the site and then she has had that experience, it's very difficult to reply to that. You have to be extraordinarily sensitive. Oh, God, there's my phone. Ignore that. You have to be extraordinarily sensitive to... it rings out after six rings. You have to be extraordinarily sensitive to what that woman is saying. You can't actually reply to her or moderate her comment in the way that you would moderate a comment by somebody saying... I didn't like the fact that the curtains in the room were the wrong colour, or, you know, when I looked at the walls, I saw a crucifix, and I'm not a Catholic, and that really annoyed me. You know, you can't moderate somebody saying that something serious has happened to their child in the same way. So you have to be very, very sensitive, and we're very lucky, I suppose, in Ames, in that we have people who are trained psychologists on board, so they would actually look at what's the best way of being very, very sensitive towards that woman. In terms of Facebook, well, everything that's been said before, in the sense that obviously you don't want to have argy-bargies on Facebook. You want people to... most people that are on are grown women. There are some men, but it's mostly women. And you hope that they can self-moderate to a certain degree. One of the issues that I would have a lot of problems with is people who try to advertise birth-related products on sites that are really there for support and information. And, sometimes those can be just people saying, by the way, come down to... And then, you know, they're saying an antenatal class, or they're saying, that they're having a baby massage class, or wherever it happens to be. And it's very difficult... You know, there's a word for that. I forget, someone told me there's actually a word for actually saying something like, and hey, did anybody use this great new service? And then you get a few of your friends to come and say, yeah, it was actually brilliant. Here's the look. And, you know, you don't want to offend people that are on your group. But on the other hand, you don't want all the people that are on your group to be constantly faced with all this advertising. And, of course, the newest thing now, which is really kind of... scratching my head about it, is when people who originally sign on as Julie Jones... suddenly change their name to Julie Parentcraft Classes in Wicklow, 5 p.m. on a Thursday, or something like that. You know, and so every time that person posts them, they're basically advertising themselves. So that's quite difficult, because obviously when people ask to join the Facebook group and they call themselves, and honestly, you know, Julie Paracraft classes, right? You know, I'm not going to let them join. But then if they join as Julie Blogs and then they change it to that, that's you know, difficult, I suppose, to moderate that.
Okay, thank you. And given that the title of this panel is Good Information versus Bad Advice, I'd like to put the question to both Emily and Krisha about how you would suggest to parents to sift through all the content on the internet, well, you know, the content that they come across on the internet, and how to determine what's quality information and how to work out what's merely opinion or merely anecdotal.
And there's a lot of that, let's face it. And I think the important thing for parents is really that the internet is a fantastic tool, particularly when you first find out that you're pregnant and you haven't been able to tell anybody yet because you're only 5 weeks gone and you just want to know everything today, and your partner, you know, is not as interested maybe as you are. But, you know, I will take personal experience. That's what happened in our house. But you go online and you want to read it all and you want to absorb all of this information. But the really important factor is that you have to take everything with a monumental pinch of salt. And, you know, whether that's on a website, maybe it's an American website that you're reading, and the advice is different to what you would get here, you know, about whether that's pain relief in labour, how labour will be dealt with when you go to the hospital. It is a very different situation even between the UK and here. So you have to take a lot of factors like that into consideration so that you make sure you're getting relevant advice for you in your situation. When it comes to the forums, and you have any number of people there that are, you know, chatting and advising and giving their story, it's very difficult to not get yourself completely wrapped up in the story or wrapped up in the question and the answers that come. But it's very important to remember that the forums are an anonymous place. You can be whoever you want to be, in a good way or a bad way, on a forum. So everybody has their own personal journey through pregnancy and through parenthood. And maybe if I had a horrific delivery or I had a horrific pregnancy where I was sick morning, noon and night, and I might cloud your judgment of a certain situation because of that. So it's really important to say, great, I've got this situation where I can ask a question and I might get great advice 7 times out of 10 from a mum about, you know, why my baby is crying or why I've got a stitch in my side in pregnancy. But you always have to counter it. And if it's a medical question, don't take advice from anybody. That, you know, you shouldn't take reassurance from anybody other than your doctor about anything medical. So that would be one of the big things that we would highlight to people, is it's great, it's a font of knowledge, the internet in general, forums in particular, but, you know, it's not the be-all and end-all, and it is something to be careful about there.
Thanks.
And
Krisha, then,
good advice, bad advice. I think it's really important to note that nothing really, even related to information, I mean, there's information, there's advice, and then there's advertising and product selling. So, you know, even what seems to be the most information-neutral website or blog will rarely just be sticking to neutral information. More than likely, there will be some sort of advice. Maybe they'll be selling you something, even if it's only a lifestyle option. Maybe it's just like you want to be like that person who's doing that blog. So it's really hard, I think, to get to a place where you have something that is completely neutral. There is no such thing as information neutral. I think what's really important is, in terms of birth and in terms of looking for positive birth information, is that you don't stray too far to other, you know, to other countries where, you know, you have birth plans that involve shaves and enemas and things like that. We'd often get a lot of women saying to us, oh, well, I looked on this site, I looked on that site. And a lot of the information is so disparate. It's a lot of it is out of date. It's always worth looking at the date of when the website was last updated, or looking at when the blog was last updated. It's always worth considering the cultural context. Is this within our own culture? Is this something that happens within our culture? If we're just looking in terms of Ireland, I think that the most important thing to note is that there is no such thing as information neutral. If you're coming to AIMS, we're looking to promote positive birth. So positive birth and normal birth, that's what you're going to get. You know, there's less on our website about or our Facebook page or our two blogs about how to get loads of interventions in birth if you want them. Because we are an organisation that's looking at normality of birth and looking at choices in childbirth and how to get your choices. We're promoting it, even though we're information neutral or trying to be, that's still where we're coming from. So if you're going to the Lecture League, for example, you're going to get information about breastfeeding. That's not the place to go to find information about formula feeding. So I think it's even what appear to be sites that are very neutral, there's always something behind it. And I'm being very honest here because that's what AIMS does. Or what the Home Birth Association does. Again, it's about home birth. So it's really to be aware of that somewhere down the line there is something that's either trying to sell you a lifestyle that has some kind of idea about birth or parenting, and to be aware of that, just to be aware of that. You get a feel for that, and maybe it fits in with your lifestyle and that gives you a sense of community, and that's fine. But just to be aware of the fact that if you type in breastfeeding, I think the first site that comes up is Mums Like Us, which is funded by Aftermail. And even though there is good breastfeeding information on there, ultimately, there is going to be something on that site that tells you about formula and about products that are marketed by Aftermail. So you have to bear all of that in mind.
Thank you. And then to Lisa and Cinda, if you could just go through some of the benefits of the online parenting community.
When I became a parent, I mentioned in my introduction that the reality of parenting, even though I was looking forward to it, it was quite overwhelming. It wasn't really what I was expecting. And the first place that I looked to for support was my immediate family, but they're in Limerick and I'm in Dublin, so they weren't always around. And then I realised I didn't really know anybody in my community. So I got involved in my local breastfeeding support group, which was absolutely fantastic, and I hope are lifelong friends from that. And I did get great support through that. But that group met on a Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock, and I didn't always make it out of bed on time to get down to the group at 10 o'clock on a Wednesday morning. And if you're running into any problems, the rest of the week is quite long. So you need somewhere else to go for support. And my son is 4.5 now, and my daughter is just 11 months. And what I can't believe is how the online support landscape has changed in the few, just that couple of years, since I had my son and now having my daughter. I had huge breastfeeding issues at the start with my son, and I muddled through. I didn't really ever resolve them properly. We got what we got, and the breastfeeding support group was really the only place that I got good advice. This time around, when I had my daughter, I was about a week in and I was sore and I really needed help. 3 o'clock in the morning, I posted on a breastfeeding Facebook group, and people are replying to me at 3 o'clock in the morning with, phone numbers for lactation consultants, just even messages of support, hang in there, you're doing great, which is, you need somebody to say that to you. And it's that's where I've really found that the internet has come into its own, is in the immediacy of the peer support that's available to you, whether it's through forums or through Facebook groups. Like I said, there's 100 different ways to parent, and if you can find a group that suits the way that you want to parent or the parenting road that you follow, then the support that's there is absolutely phenomenal. People, it still amazes me how much of their own time people are willing to give to help someone else. There's a breastfeeding group that I'm a member of. There's breastfeeding groups for every county in Ireland, I think. Then there's a huge breastfeeding group, the Extended Breastfeeding in Ireland group, which has, I think everybody who knows anything about breastfeeding in Ireland is on that group, and they have so much information to share with people. But I remember being on one of those breastfeeding groups over the summer sometime, and a woman posted that she was out and about in somewhere, I think Roscommon or somewhere, and she needed to feed her baby, and she'd never fed her baby in public before, and she was really nervous about it. And within about 10 minutes, two other women replied and said, "Oh, I'm in Roscommon town as well. What coffee shop are you in? I'll come down and join you and you know, sit there with you for some moral support while you do your first feed in public." I just thought it was unbelievable, you know, that it's changed everything, I think.
Thanks. For me, the beauty of online support, with all of the caveats that everybody has mentioned in terms of critically analysing where your information is coming from, is the fact that there is so much of the alternative view available now, you know, whereas a few years ago, as Lisa was saying, all of your advice would be coming from your immediate peer group and your family and friends, who all would have had their own experiences, and even from your GP in the hospital. And, you know, our medical practitioners are held in such high esteem in this country, as they should be, but sometimes we just take what they say for granted as being the only way, whereas now, you know, you hear something that you're not 100% sure about and you can either search or ask online, and you might learn something that that information was never available before. And, you know, I often think myself, when I was trying to conceive the first time, you know, I read a book called The Irish Pregnancy Book. I'm not sure if some of you have read it, which I thought was like, this is brilliant. This is a book about having a baby in Ireland. Everything I need to know is going to be in this book. And I didn't know anything about having babies, and only one of my friends had babies. And I read that from cover to cover, and in my head, that was the gospel. And I took all of what was written in that book on board. And it wasn't until I was, I'd say, about 2 months pregnant, and my only friend who had had a baby had said to me, "Oh my God, that book is so desperate. Did you not notice X, Y, and Z?" And this illusion was shattered for me, because this was it. You know, what was in that book was what was going to happen to me. And it wasn't until somebody else put a doubt in my mind, and then, you know, I turned to the internet just to find out what other views there might be, and suddenly everything about my pregnancy and my parenting changed direction. You know, like, I was on this mainstream track, which is fine if that's what you want, and that's what I thought I wanted, because that's how I thought, that's how it went. And suddenly I was over here and I was going that way, and everything changed. And I went from somebody who at 5 weeks was sitting booking in with her GP, who said to her, "Oh, you know, if you really want to, you know, you could have a home birth." And I said to her, no, that's not for me. And I was terrified by the idea, to being somebody who had a home birth on her first baby, you know. And that was down to information that was provided to me that resonated with me from an alternative view that came originally from online. So, you know, like, if the internet hadn't have been there, I might be talking to you about something very differently today, but this is where I am. And to have that diversity, but also to have the location-specific thing, exactly what Lisa was talking about, you know, we're just, like, every single month, everything is becoming so local to you, and being able to have all these communities. And, you know, like, I have, there's a few people in this room here today who I am very good friends with. Our friendships have evolved online, you know. Some people I'm only meeting today for the first day, but I'd actually say, "Oh, my friend." And we are proper friends. And I think that's more Facebook, actually, to be honest, than the internet. And I was always very, very anti-Facebook for a long time, and Lisa bullied me into joining Facebook. And I haven't looked back, because it's just such a fabulous resource. And I think it's coming down to what Emily was talking about the anonymity of forums, is that forums are fantastic and they have their place, but you actually never really know who the person behind the username is and what their agenda is. Whereas with Facebook, you're a little bit more exposed, because
you're posting as yourself.
As yourself.
Yeah. And I think it's really interesting, actually, just both of you saying that, because we did a huge amount of research last year with over 3,000 of our 120,000 members, saying, you know, asking them a lot of questions. And the results that came back showed that moms in Ireland are the most online group of consumers. You know, they're the most online group, more than teenagers, more than anybody else. They have double social media presence than any other group in the country. And it just goes to show, when you say at 3 o'clock in the morning that you can get responses, I mean, that's part of the, I mean, the joy, I suppose, of these online parenting forums, Facebook or whatever it is that you can go, oh my God, what's happening? And ask the question there and then, and you'll get the answer. And I think that's just such a huge benefit.
You get an answer.
Maybe not the answer. That's right. Maybe not the answer, but you'll get something, and you won't feel like you're alone in the dark in 3 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.